it's Monday the 4th of March. I'm Miranda Sawyer and I vote that Kylie Minogue takes over all royal duties for the foreseeable. Welcome back to Papercuts, the modern newspaper review, where we ply the UK press with Jaeger bombers and celebrities and see what happens when the cameras are on. Will they flash their bums at a pre-watershed audience? Will they look grumpy in a big fur hat? Will they bring their granny on stage so that no one can heckle? Whatever they get up to, we put it in the podcast for funsies. And if you enjoy our good times and you fancy helping us out with a few quid every month, then why not join the Papercut Supporters Club? Rest assured that every penny you send is wisely spent on newspapers and producers and on Granny Maguire's VIP pass to the Chiltern Firehouse.
It's research.
So if you fancy helping us out and getting ad-free episodes, a special extra story at the end of the show, and maybe even a Papercuts mug or a t-shirt, then why not check out the show notes and click on back.papercutsshow.com to see how you too can become a Papercuts supporter. Now, here are the headlines for today's show. Brits out for the lasses, Ray, Kylie and C-Matt at the Brit Awards. Fitter, sexier, duller. Oh God, it's improve yourself day across the papers. And stop right now. Thank you very much. Jerry Halliwell turns up for her iffy F1 husband. Welcome to Papercuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Papercuts, where we can't quite believe that Dancing on Ice is still on. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and joining me today is editor of Pop Bitch and excellent dancer to Padam Padam, it's Chris Lockery.
Hi, how are you? Hi.
And also with us is comedian and world's best can't get you out of my header, it's Grainne Maguire. Hi, Grainne.
Princess Kylie, I should be so lucky.
So what have we got on the front pages today? Chris, what do you have?
What do we have? The Telegraph. They've gone big on police solve no burglaries in half of country, which seems very half glass full to me. Obviously, police are solving some burglaries in half of the country, but they've gone negative. Other than that, I think the budget is, we're heading into budget week, so a lot of the big papers have gone on this. The Eye, another absolutely sizzling scorcher from the Eye here. Pass me my oven gloves. Hunt fuels Tory jitters over election budget light on tax cuts. Lovely and spicy. But this is basically the thing. So Guardian have got budget plan risks forcing UK into second lost decade, Hunt warned. So the Guardian's really the only paper taking a sort of overview of what this might mean ongoing. Everyone else seems to be sort of wrapped up in the Tory drama of what's probably going to be Hunt's last budget, Tories' last budget, what they can do pre-election to try and turn their sinking ship around. There's a few ideas. The Times probably has the best coverage on this. Essentially, Hunt's looking for £9 billion somewhere in savings and spending reductions to make up for what he wants to put through, which everyone's best guess is a 2p reduction on national insurance, which is a slightly more cost-effective way of doing it from the income tax. Also, the financial experts tell us. Okay. I have no reason to doubt them on that. I just can't be sure on the facts myself. So he's looking to try and find this £9 billion somewhere so that he can put this through. There's a few suggestions on how we might do that. There is a tax potentially on business class flights, which I don't see quite how you get $9 billion out of that.
They are quite dear.
A tax on vaping.
Yeah.
Seems to be another big one.
So really bad news for Leonardo DiCaprio this morning.
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah.
And on second homeowners, maybe.
Second homeowners, yes. They're trying to, I think, the sort of Airbnbers, they're trying to squeeze a bit more out of them. People that own second houses to let.
So far, I don't mind.
I'll take 2p off your national insurance if they manage it. So.
Okay, great. And Grainne, what do you have?
So the Daily Mail, first of all, they've got a picture of Kim Kardashian looking very happy with herself and a dress tag on the back of her dress. So that's obviously very important news. They have cash for care jobs visa scam. So this is a big Daily Mail probe into corruption that just happens to involve immigrants, which obviously is a complete coincidence. They're obviously very passionate about bad use of public money. Then The Sun, they have exclusive CBB fears, Kate's big bother, and that's the news the princesses Uncle Gary. I mean, Uncle Gary. Listen, Kate, every family has an Uncle Gary.
Exactly. That's exactly what I believe. It's like, wheel him out.
So he might be in the next series of Celebrity Big Brother. And there's a picture of Kate Godlover in a white coat. So she's worried and she's got enough on her plate and she just need bloody Uncle Gary getting involved. Then the Mirror have the price of Tory tax bribes. Schools in crisis, hospitals in crisis, armed forces in crisis, councils in crisis, police in crisis, prisons in crisis, courts in crisis, even hospices are in what?
Crisis.
No, I mean, vaping to be honest. In crisis there. I can't believe they've missed it.
No.
And it's got a picture of Jeremy Hunt sort of waving. He kind of looks a little bit like Mr. Bean there.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
And then the Daily Star, once again, the only newspaper with the courage to cover the stories that all the other newspapers are dodging. The Big Mac Daddy. Fast food fanatic retains his hotly fought world record after scoffing 34,000 burgers.
Wow, 34,000 McDonald's burgers.
I was trying to do the maths on that because it's a lot.
He's gone down to just two a day, apparently.
Yeah, he was eating 9 a day at one point.
Oh, my God. Anyway, well done him. Now, on Saturday night, for a quite long 2 and a bit hours, ITV staged the Brit Awards 2024, and the papers, along with all the rest of us, have been enjoying the unpicking of what went on. So, Chris, the biggest story was Ray. She won an unprecedented 6 award. Why was it such a big story?
Well, the Ray story has been bubbling on for quite some time now, and it's one of these overnight successes that it was a decade in the making, really. It's a fascinating story. So she's 26 now. She first started releasing music a decade ago. So her first EP came out in 2014 and almost immediately was, you know, doing really impressive, amazing work with interesting people. She was a big deal, signed to a huge label, Polydor. She was writing for John Legend, Ellie Goulding, stuff went to Beyonce. And was ticking along, having a pretty, what looked like a decent career. You know, she was always everywhere, a bit of a kind of critical darling. And then in June 2021, she took to Twitter and had something of a sort of breakdown, certainly breaking her silence on what had been happening to her. And Polydor had basically tied her into a 4-album deal and had refused to release an album of hers, which meant that she'd spent a decade basically spinning her wheels, album after album's worth of music that was just sitting in an archive somewhere, and they wouldn't put it out. They felt they didn't have enough faith in her, which is insane to me, because why do you go and send someone, an artist that you don't have that much faith in, why do you send their stuff to Beyonce? Beyonce's some sort of babysitting service for the artist you don't really know what you're doing with. And then they agreed to sort of part ways with her. So she went off on her own as an independent. She basically created this first album of hers with her own money.
Yeah.
Parents left their jobs to sort of support her and manage her. And this was the result, basically, My 21st Century Blues. But she had her first number one single, helped spurred through TikTok. Escapism was a huge track on there.
Yeah.
It's been a huge hit internationally. And everything's come up roses, basically, for Ray. She took this huge gamble and it's really paid off. And something like the Brits is a fantastic cap on this, because it's essentially an industry event funded by the record labels. Basically, it's a huge fuck you to them, and couldn't be more pleased for her. It's so good. And the fact that it's a record-breaking number of wins. Do you know who got the most nominations before Ray?
Yeah, wasn't it Robbie Williams?
No, and he has the most overall Brit Award wins. But in one night, it was
Craig David.
And he didn't win any of them.
That's just awful.
So she was nominated for 7.
And also, a lot of people watch the Brit Awards that don't know anything about music. And she gave this performance that was completely terrific. She's got a great voice. She's got a kind of slightly soul-y R&B. She's got soul-y R&B thing. And they combined it with this big choir behind it. It's absolutely the thing that, you know, if your mum and dad were watching, they're like, oh, she's very good. And they will buy the album. Do you know what I mean? That's what's kind of
amazing.
She's
got that kind of Amy Winehouse appeal as well. Like, it's, you know, the music is unflinchingly honest.
There were a couple of other stories, weren't there, that on Saturday Night Grania. Can we just say the word Kylie? Oh, Kylie, I'm going to say it again. She won Global Icon, which I think maybe is an award just made up for her.
I get emotional just thinking about Kylie Minogue. We're so lucky. We're just so lucky that we have her. I think like she's so important. She just brings so much joy and wholesomeness and fun and glamour. And she's not problematic. She's inclusive. And she's just, Kylie Minogue is just joy personified. And there she was just on stage. She's been, how many years in the music industry is she now?
I would say from about 88. So it's a long time.
Yeah. So she's like, we're talking about 30 years. Mm. She's relevant. She's, you know, she's important. She's still part of the conversation. She released like the best song of the year last year. Yeah. She looked incredible. And there she is getting all her flowers and all the love from younger female performers, all performers. Who just, I mean, you know, like that thing, like, are you a robot about how many traffic lights? It should be like, do you love Kylie? And if you say no, you're banned from the internet.
Like a little 5-second clip of all the lovers. And if you don't like move in your seat, then they kick you off the website. You're banned from the internet.
She did really well as well, because what she did in this performance, I mean, she had 3 outfits. She had a red frock. She had a black frock. She had a white diaphanous frock. Looked amazing in all of them. They were all removed perfectly. She sang 4 songs, which were Padam Padam, Can't Get You Out of My Head, Love at First Sight, and All the Lovers, which everyone is a banger, which is what you want from your global icon.
Yeah.
You know, some people just don't do that. Yeah. And while she was doing it, the camera swung around and there was Ray and Dua Lipa dancing, you know, not ironically, completely and self-consciously to her. It was absolutely great.
And it's not like, she's not a nostalgia act. It's not like, oh, bless, look at her. Look, she's out the house. It's like, she is a queen. She's a queen. And I just think the world is so grim and dark at the moment for so many reasons. And I think if you can give the world a moment of escapism and joy, that is God's work.
Yeah.
Kylie is doing God's work on this earth.
She is. And I've got one other person I feel like we should talk about, which is C-Mat. Mm-hmm. I wasn't particularly aware of C-Mat before the Brits, but she's used her moment in a very excellent manner. She is an Irish singer, and she had this amazing dress from the front. It was full. It had kind of big, enormous puff sleeves. It was black. It was quite sophisticated. Yeah. It was long. And then from the back, what happened, Grainne?
Well, let's just say it was business at the front, but party at the back. It was very showcasing. She had, you know, what can I say? She had her tatoes out.
Her lower tatoes.
Her lower tatoes out. She was, you know, Irish people were famous for our crack, and she was...
It was a good crack.
She was serving, and I've never felt more proud. Paul Mescal, Riverdance, and C-Mat's backside.
And she showed everybody her backside, didn't she? Because Clara Amfrey was doing a link, and C-Mat performed.
It's a time-honoured Brits tradition, bum-waggling.
Smiling.
I'm glad that there's a next generation that get to enjoy this.
It was absolutely great. Well done. Now, for some strange reason, the papers seem to be on a self-improvement frenzy today. We all know how much they love to make us hate ourselves for not being quite as good as we should be. But today, they've ganged up and gone for our insecurities. Grainne, OK, this appears to be in the Mail and the Telegraph and the Guardian.
Yeah.
All right. Should we start with the Mail? What could we be doing better, according to the Mail?
OK, so the Mail have gone for basically Ozempic for povos.
OK.
If you're too poor for Ozempic, don't worry.
Yeah.
The Mail's got you covered. And it's so, oh my God, it's so patronising. Basically, they're like, oh, you ready for this? This thing I never realised, you should just eat more vegetables.
Wow, okay. And this is going to like make the pounds drop off, is it?
Yes. So if you can't afford Ozempic, the answer is to eat more whole foods and to aim for, and this is offensive, 30 different plant foods per week. 30 different, there are no such thing. There's not 30 different plants in the world. And then this is the, this, okay, I'm convinced they don't exist. legumes. have you ever had a legume?
Well, it's just French veg, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
French for baked beans. So you should have legumes.
Yeah.
Nuts, seeds, herbs, and spices.
Oh, please. I'm salivating.
And then, but listen, guys, don't be too cheeky, because don't think you can cheat and eat loads of fruit, because what is fruit gosh? Say it with me. Sugar. So they said fruit is a good source of fiber, but you need to be mindful of sugar. So aim for 2 pieces per day. And that's it.
Wow, like 2 satsuma.
So we're being limited on our fruit now as well. The joy police have come for fruit.
Wow.
It's like somebody got, do you know, grapes are just sugar. Like, don't trick yourself.
Okay, let's go to The Guardian. I can't imagine The Guardian's going to be any jollier.
No, not jollier. And not any more groundbreaking either, really. Theirs is more about brain activity.
Obviously, because they're clever.
Yeah,
The Guardian, come on, how many novels have you read today?
No, you don't even need to do that. So if you want to get your brain moving, exercise. Okay. Exercise is apparently really good for you. Yeah. And this is...
What?
No, honestly, page 4, G2. It's all in here. It's all in here. Exercise can be good for you, good for your mind, and good for generating ideas. It's... paragraph after paragraph of rewriting that.
Can I just snooze? Can I just snooze now?
Hang on, are you saying healthy body equals healthy mind?
Oh my God.
Apparently scientists are not just confirming that, but also creativity too. So healthy imagination.
Oh my God.
Anyway. Benefits are nearly endless. 3 benefits I think I counted. That's good. It. That's a good amount of benefits,
I suppose. That's 3. I'm dismissing that one as well.
Yeah.
What about The Telegraph? So I have to say that The Telegraph recently, I feel, has been listening to our show.
They
have upped their features game. So what they've been doing, instead of writing long, dull, kind of Guardian-style features about things you should do, they just do, you know, top 10 of biscuits, and then how you can have a sex life, here's 5 tips. So go The Telegraph. This is to improve our sex life, isn't it?
I think you're right. It's basically they're slapping you across the face. Like, sort yourself out. Yeah. Men, do push-up and squats. Eat berries and broccoli. Sardines. Floss. Fix your snoring.
It's literally, that's what you're meant to do. That's
what's nice about this one, as opposed to like, you want to lose weight, eat some vegetables. You want to have a healthy mind, go for a run. This one's like, you want to get an erection, floss your teeth. Wait, what? Like, no, it works. That's the kind of link you want. Everybody knows we're supposed to eat the rainbow.
Yeah.
But flossing for erections is...
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Because it's The Telegraph and it's written for old people, I can assume we don't mean flossing in the kind of like TikTok dance.
No, definitely not.
I think it's flossing in the old dental hygiene.
It's flossing your teeth.
Flossing for erections sounds like it's like this thing, like a crowdfunder you're doing to raise money for like erectile dysfunction. Sponsor me if I floss every day and the money all goes to men over 60.
And then women have got very specific things they
have
to do as well.
Okay, you ready? Mm. Choose healthy fats.
Yeah, that's
eat
avocados.
An apple a day. Use topical estrogen. Experiment alone. Yeah. What a euphemism. Hey, you know what I mean. Just experiment alone.
Freelancers lie down. What is...
the apple a day thing, obviously, is well-worn advice. But again, there was a weird twist in this.
Yeah. What does it say, Grania, about the apple a day?
Forgive me if I misread it, but do they not imply that it...
makes
it was
you feel
helping
good.
Women with their lubrication.
Yeah.
I think that was sort of the phrase they used.
One study of women found that eating an apple a day over 6 months improved arousal, lubrication and satisfaction, possibly due to the antioxidants increasing blood flow.
It's just such a weird pitch for the study, isn't it? It's like, right, so you've been eating your apples. Okay, great. Do you mind if I just take a swab?
Now, it's no secret that here at Paper Cuts, we respect a great headline writer more than we do the editor, which is why every week we give you listeners a chance to become a headline head honcho with our Fix the Headline competition. This is where we find a fab story with a not-so-fab header and you lovely listeners think up a better one. On Friday, we found a story in The Star about how Northerners, that's me, are raunchier in the sack. This had the very dull headline, North's saucier in bed. We knew you could do better, and you did. On X, Max Harvey gave us quite the selection. Debbie does Dewsbury. Kiss Me Darlington and Whip It Real Good.
Nice.
He's very good. Matthew Griffiths offered Cox of the North and Rob Harper, The North Will Rise Again and Again. On Threads, Nick Watsiam tried with Northerners Love to Head South and Emperor's New with It's Quim Up North. But the winner is Stephanie on X with a completely perfect Fwarthiners.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, I can't believe they missed it. It's so good. Anyway, send in your address and your T-shirt size, Stephanie, and we will send you an amazing Paper Cuts T-shirt. Anyway, now to today's headlines, and we have a Paper Cuts first because The Star has swept the board today. It has all the best headlines. I feel like a bit of a round of applause to The Star. Woo! Thank you for saving us, The Star. We love you. Okay, Gráinne, what do you have?
Blockbuster movie Bob Marley, One Love, has sparked a surge in Brits visiting the singer's homeland of Jamaica. Headline is, Jamaica's In.
Ah, I see. That's quite neat.
Yeah. No offence to, I'm sure it's a very good film, but I think people always wanted to go on holiday to Jamaica. I don't think people are like, what's this Jamaica? I'm going to Google that place. Maybe it's worth a punt. And then from the Star, Pablo Escobar's Horny Hippos.
Oh, we love them.
Oh,
they're our fave.
Very hungry hippos are seeing a population explosion into a 1,000 strong herd as efforts to cull them have failed, experts warned. Mm. And headline is Explosion of the Sex Mad Drug Hippos.
Yes.
Which is good, but on reading that, I was thinking that one of the drug mad hippos had exploded, which would have been, I was like, oh my God, I was following their story quite a lot. And I didn't, thought one of them might have actually popped. They'd done so much coke.
Okay, Chris, you have got some bangers from The Star on Sunday.
Yeah. They didn't take a day off.
Mm, they never do.
The news never sleeps.
Kind of a classic of the tabloid genre, prisoners have got it too good sort of situation. They're talking specifically about HMP Bronzefield in Surrey, where some of our more notorious murders and criminals are able to get beauty treatments. What they're complaining about. Lucy Letby apparently is booking in for treatments at their salon, Shades of Beauty. The Al Qaeda sympathizer Roshanara Chowdhury apparently has been offered a Zumba legs, bums and tums class.
This looks really unlikely.
But, you know, the story all leads to the headline, which is Behind Spas.
Very good.
Which is quite
very,
good.
Very good.
And then finally, another tabloid classic, the favourite national dish. Brits have been surveyed again on what they like to eat. Chicken tikka masala has dropped right down the ranking.
Wow, it's always number one.
No sooner has the guy died. Yeah,
everyone's
turned their backs on it. Mm. Fish and chips are big. Pie and mash is big. Roasts, full English, they've all overtaken.
Oh, they've gone a bit Brexit, haven't they?
Mm. Mm.
Back
with the
basics.
Headline, Vindaloosa.
Oh, that's good.
Which is good.
I'm David Baddiel. I'm a writer and a comedian and a Jew.
I'm Saida Varsi. I'm a businesswoman and a politician and a Muslim.
Jews and Muslims always seem to be in the news or on the news. Lots of people talk about us, and this is us talking about ourselves.
The kind of things that people say don't touch, we are going to go there.
I mean, I think Jews and Muslims are talking about these things, but I think they're not talking about them together because they're worried that if they do, sparks might fly. A Muslim and a Jew go there.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, in quite a few papers, including The Sun, which has the headline, Ditch the Red Bull Girl, is the story of F1 boss Christian Horner and what his off-brand shenanigans might mean for his marriage to Jerry Halliwell.
Mm.
Chris, what has Christian Horner allegedly been up to?
So, Christian Horner is the team principal and CEO of Red Bull, big successful F1 team. They've got the best car, best driver in Max Verstappen. So he's a big deal, and there have been allegations of inappropriate behaviour surrounding him. An investigation, an independent investigation, was conducted into this alleged behaviour, and he was cleared last week. And then immediately, an anonymous email went out to F1 bosses, to hundreds of journalists, with a link to a Google Drive that contains screenshots of these alleged texts. Just the shit's hit the fan, basically.
Yeah. Which we've all read. I just have to say, we've all read.
And yeah, it looks like this story isn't going to go away quite as quickly as they were perhaps hoping that it would.
No, I mean, having read the texts, which are essentially, I would say, I think the word we can use is creepy. They're creepy.
Yeah, but creepy in a very specific way.
Mm. What would you say that way is?
Boring, in a word. It's creepy. I mean, there's plenty of different ways of being creepy, and a lot of very rich, powerful men have run the gamut on that. Yeah. Are just sort of depressing, clingy, a little bit icky.
They're just like...
Do you remember Michael Owen had those ones where he was sexting... Rebecca Jane, an old Big Brother contestant and model, and he was saying things like, "Oh, fire them through! Oh, tremendous!" You know, stuff like that. It was like it wasn't hot, spicy language. It was
not
just
got
very
the riz.
No riz, no absolutely riz. Sourceless.
They're very like in-betweeners coded.
Yeah,
you know, I could imagine any of the in-betweener boys sending similar level of.
Yeah, innuendo.
When you're like, Cocoa Pops, nice.
Yes. Yeah,
you know, put your phone down.
She's absolutely really trying to stop him from doing this. So the Cocoa Pops reference is to a message he's sort of texting late at night, asking what she's up to and shit. Oh, I've had a bowl of Cocoa Pops and I'm going to bed. Which should, to any normal person, be like, please stop texting me.
Yeah. It's a shutdown, isn't it? It's
it really
absolute
is.
Absolute shutdown.
And he's doing this all like, ooh, yeah, ooh, Cocoa Pops.
Tell me some more.
The other way, there's the other creepy bit is the his solo Mile High Club confession. So I think he got overexcited on a plane and then went to take care of business in the cubicle. So that's the implication. He doesn't actually admit to it, but any reasonable reading of it would be an alleged incident in the
And they're in the alleged text. The woman does say, "You've got a wife and child." Mm. You know, I don't want to send you a photo. I'm not switching the video on. I mean, you know,
she's like, "I'm watching the rugby."
Yeah. Mm.
You know how ladies watch rugby in their bustiers and their...
I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, it's a bit grim, isn't it? That's what it is. It's a bit tawdry.
Tawdry, exactly.
So it's, oh my God. It's like ChatGPT. It's like that level of like, have you interacted with a human being before?
Yeah, it's not great. Anyway, so these have all gone out. So obviously now, you know, the world is a flutter with the scandal. And he is married to media savvy Jerry Halliwell.
Okay, but first of all, we have to go back.
Yeah,
we have to go back. So Jerry Halliwell, aka Ginger Spice. So her pop persona was very big. Like she was all like the sexy Union Jack outfits. You know, she was very flamboyant, big red hair. And then she met Christian Horner.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so there was like a little bit of spice because he was in a relationship with a woman who had just had a baby when him and Jerry got together. So it was a controversial beginning to their relationship. So Jerry, because she's smart, was like, did a big rebrand. So she went from like primary colours, big hair, platform boosted Jerry to Jerry the White. And when she was Jerry the White, it was very, I'm a Cotswolds wife, you know, low-key Tory with a small T, and I only dress in white.
She only dresses in white, which I still can't quite believe. Who can get through their life only dressing in white frocks with the occasional camel coat?
I love it. And she says in interviews, it just makes things easier.
I mean, not for normal people.
Yeah.
Anyway, she came out, you know, to support him, didn't she?
So
held
she
his hand
out
and everything.
Support. She did the pap walk and dressed all in white and was gave him a little kiss and is very much standing by her man in her new persona of this is her Tory wife life now.
Yeah. I felt actually she did very well. I mean, she is good at press. Mm-hmm. That's what she does. She's really good at it. And I actually watched the pat walk because that's what I'm like. And she did it in heels, not always easy. Yeah. She did it with a really, just a gentle smile on her face, you know, slightly hurt, but, you know, a lovely smile, went through the whole lot and then went up some stairs in very high heels, which is not easy, while they were behind her. And she gave it the Pippa Middleton, just a slight twist. She was very, very good. There is a bit in the Sun about how she's... So she turned up for this... This was the opening race of this F1 season in Bahrain, I think. Anyway, so... Of course, Red Bull
won. When it's Bahrain, when that's like the third story, it's like, oh yeah, in the country with very problematic human rights abuses, I'm going to get my man back.
And so the next race, we have been informed that Jerry is not going to turn up because she's very busy.
Yeah.
So that's it. She's very busy. What do you think she's doing?
She's writing children's books.
Yeah.
She's buying white outfits on eBay. She
owns a horse now. She has a racehorse. She has a racehorse called Lift Me Up that she named after her single.
Listen.
Did pretty well. It came second in a race, I think.
Okay. Nadine Dorries is on the WhatsApp. Liz Truss will be dropping in, seeing how she's going to be. I can absolutely see her at some All Bar One in the Cotswolds, ordering the white wine, getting hammered. That's what she's doing.
He's not worth it. And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to Chris.
Thank you.
Thanks to Gráinne.
Thank you. And thank you, Kylie.
And of course, thanks to you, extremely amazing listeners, especially our Paper Cuts supporters. I do urge you to join the Paper Cuts Supporters Club just simply for today, because if you join, you'll be able to hear an extra special bit in which Gráinne calls Queen Victoria
a messy little cunt.
And our Paper Cut supporters, of course, get a shout out on the show. Chris, who do you have?
I want to send big thanks out to Stephen Black and Dr. Timothy Ruffsedge.
I want to say a hi and Gaurav Mila Mohagath to Fiona Cooper and Graham Coffey.
And I will say hello and ta very much to Madeline Pritchard and Ben Cropper. I've been Miranda Sawyer, and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when we learned that Penny Mordaunt is selling her coronation costume. I know, because she can't wear it anymore. Apparently, people think she's going to a fancy dress party dressed as herself. So search Let Me Hold Your Sword on Vinted and grab yourself a bargain. See you tomorrow.
Paper Cuts was written and presented by Miranda Sawyer with Gráinne Maguire and Chris Lockery. The producer was Liam Tate and the audio producer was me, Jade Bailey. Music is by Simon Williams, socials by Kieran Leslie, design by Jim Parrott with original art by Modern Toss. The executive producer is Martin Boytosh, managing editor is Jacob Jarvis, and group editor is Andrew Harrison. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.